welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Tommy.
I'm Jeff.
All right, let's get started.
All right, still no Justin. All right, Justin, we love you, buddy. Hurry up and come back, man. Right? We miss you, dude.
Yeah, come we on, do, because Justin always has good insights.
He does. He has good insight. He has some great one-liners, you know.
He looks good, too. Okay, no, he doesn't.
No.
He has a face for radio. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he kind of does.
Just kidding. So,
hey, speaking of which, dude, I went on a trip to Austin, Texas to that missions conference. Yep. And on the way out there, I met Justin's doppelganger.
So someone who just looks just like Justin.
Next to me.
Did you ask him, is your name Justin?
No, I didn't. But I had my wife take pictures of me without him looking. He fell asleep, so I was like, smiling next to him.
Oh,
and I sent him to Justin. It was pretty awesome.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
I think it's weird if you meet somebody that looks like you, or if someone
or
tells
somebody
you,
else. Yeah.
Well, someone says, man, I met somebody that looks just like you. You're like, what?
Do I look like that?
Especially when you see them. Have you ever been told that you look like a celebrity?
Yes.
Which one?
I can't remember the guy's name, but he played the drums for Foo Fighters.
You're talking. So now he's the singer. He played drums for.
Yes.
He played drums for Nirvana. Dave Grohl.
There it is.
Yeah.
I had longer hair at one point.
Yeah, I can see that. No, I can see that.
They always said I look like. But
man,
anyway.
Look, I don't get anything cool like that.
No.
No, not anymore. I mean, maybe when I was younger.
Well.
When I was younger and you know, better looking, better shape. I got the guy from Jersey Shore, Paulie, the other one. Well, I didn't watch the show.
I don't know.
Somebody sent me his picture. So now, lately, I get Ron DeSantis. I've gotten that. I've gotten Ray Romano, which is terrible. And the worst one of all. Actually, I just forgot his name. The worst one of all was, I can see his face. He's like a Hispanic actor, comedian.
Oh, I know you're talking.
George Lopez.
Yeah, Lopez.
I'm like, seriously?
He's like 80 years old.
I don't know. I don't think I look 80, but then I see a picture of me and I'm like, man.
I mean, you're getting close because your son just turned 18. Bro, golly, you got to be close to 80, right?
Man, so we went on, speaking of turning 18, you know, I wanted to, instead of just giving them money and stuff, we do that anyway.
Sure. Experience, right?
I wanted an experience.
Absolutely.
I wanted a memory.
Absolutely.
And my daughter was going with us. My father-in-law went. We had some other guys going. There were seven of us that ended up going on this trip. So we went on a guided goose hunt in Arkansas.
You went on a guided goose hunt?
Yeah,
that's such a thing?
So, yeah. So we went. We stayed in this hunting lodge.
Do you eat the geese?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
I've heard of that, but I mean, I don't think I guess I've had goose that's like, can't wait to hunt that. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's a delicacy. You know, you don't go to the grocery store and buy goose because it's
not good.
No, it's not that not good. It's,
all right, go ahead.
You don't go and cook duck every other day, do you? Duck is good.
I didn't like duck either.
Well, you didn't have it cooked right.
Okay.
Just say that.
Well, I'll wait for you.
So we went. I mean, look, I'm not here to talk about money and cost and stuff, but it's not cheap. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
Okay? Not cheap. But you're going for the experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my daughter was with us. It was going to be a good bonding experience. We're going to have fun I was going to say in the woods, but we're actually not in the woods. We're on the field. But anyway, we're going to have fun.
You're at a goose park.
Well, we're on land, you know, I mean, and then we're in Arkansas and there's, and I probably not exaggerating, hundreds of thousands of geese.
Wow.
Everywhere. You think that's a cloud? Nope.
Why do you need a guided tour for that?
Well, it's not a guided tour. It's not like a tour bus. I don't say tour.
That's what you said.
No, I said a guided goose hunt.
Okay.
So what that means is someone owns that land. Someone has all the equipment to put out there. I mean, they literally put hundreds of decoys out in this field.
Mm-hmm.
They put these speakers out for electronic callers. So we're in the middle of what they call the conservation season. So because the population has grown so much of geese, you're go out there and shoot as many as you can.
Yeah.
And so they allow you to do all these things that you normally don't get to do during the normal seasons, like electronic call. So the speakers line. I mean, we're in a 100-acre field, right. Hundreds of decoys that look like geese.
Yeah.
And the speakers going, meow,
meow. How many decoys did you take out? Oh, man, that's not a good.
Well, ask me how many shots I fired.
How many?
Zero.
What?
Didn't fire a shot.
I don't understand. Did you just run wrestle them? Or was it too easy to shoot them? You're like, ah, I'm going to chase this one down.
We didn't kill any.
What? Hundreds of thousands?
Hundreds of thousands.
I don't understand.
It looks cloudy.
What'd you use to hunt?
And it's not cloudy because there's so many birds in the sky. They would not come to our field. They landed across the street, across the field. They landed so close that people in the side-by-sides were going around trying to get them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then to bring them over our field, nope.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so you're talking about disappointed? Like, my son, who is an avid hunter, by the way.
Talk about an experience memory. Oh,
he's an avid hunter. He was like, dude, why didn't you tell this guy, like, hey, you know, we expect...
No geese, no pig.
I know, and the guy's like, well, it's hunting, not killing. They call it hunting, not killing. Mm-hmm. He actually did say that, but not like...
Yeah.
Look, I didn't question it. I paid the guy what he asked.
Sure.
You know, he can't guarantee it. He can't make it. He put us out there. They did all the work.
Yeah.
The birds didn't come. The thing is we think certain types of animals are dumb, and they're not dumb. They don't live... You know... A goose can live like 40 years. They don't live that long by being dumb.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
People are hunting them from Canada to Florida, or right, Canada right. to Louisiana, Canada to Texas. Mm. They're being shot at 8 months out of the year.
Somebody's missing hundreds of thousands of them, which would start with you guys.
Well, and, you know, there's a bunch of conditions. I mean, I think that, hey, as a guide, though, and this is my son's point,
yeah.
If that's your profession, that's what these guys do for a living,
right?
You ought to know
right.
how to really do, I mean, how to make it so that the geese want to come down there.
Sure.
That's your job.
I mean, at least on your first one, you know what I mean? Like a guaranteed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking, like, I could go to the local park and wrestle down a goose right now.
Yeah, so needless to say, it was pretty lame.
Happy birthday, Mason.
I know. Happy birthday.
He's like, next year, can I just get some money?
Well, you know, so it's now it's weird. And your son turned 18, went December?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, December?
December 31st.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so my son just turned 18. So now we have adult. I was going to say man-childs, but...
Yeah, that's more accurate.
Yeah.
They, you know, technically adult can vote now, but, you know, living on their own, understanding all that
entails. He can go get a tattoo now.
He could.
He could. What if he did? What would you say?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, well, number
don't,
one...
Don't put it on your face. No,
number one, if he got a tattoo right now, I'd be like, you haven't paid his car insurance.
Oh!
That's what I would say.
Shpap.
Yes. Slap you straight up. Boom. Yeah. I think, you know, there's no, but I don't know. My son, he's different in that regard. Like, I was so into material things at that age. Like, I wanted stuff for my car. Like,
Did you have stereo?
I had a Glow gear shift.
Oh, so did I.
Dude, the thing was cool.
I had
cool.
a neon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Green?
Yes. So yes. I had a low rider truck.
I had a and Honda Accord.
Well, I had a mini truck, they called them. It was a GMC Sonoma, like the S10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had it slammed. And I had it was green.
Yeah.
So I had a green glow in the dark. It was clear with a green neon in it.
Yeah, I had the same. Look at that.
Yeah.
Awesome. One of my closest friends growing up, he had a truck like that, a Suzu.
Oh, yeah.
And he slammed it and had a pearl job painted on it.
Oh,
he
called
it Mini Pearl.
Nice.
It lasted a week. He totaled it.
Oh.
That was awful, man. I felt so bad for him. But
I was in a car club, local car club here called Afterthoughts.
So I had a little Honda Accord. I want to say it was a 99 Honda Accord. and it had the headlights that would pop up, you know,
I thought those were awesome.
Those were cool. But one on the left was a little loose.
It was a little janky.
So when it was a little janky. And when you were on the interstate going at high speeds, it would catch the wind. And I mean, you would blind people in front, and they would slam on brakes, and they thought.
So, the light bulb came on.
It would just raise up slightly higher than it's supposed to, so it was like right in there.
Oh, I see. So it was already up.
It was already up,
but it had play in it.
Left side was a little loose, so wind would catch it and raise it up a little bit higher, go right into their rearview mirror, and make them crazy, and
now
cause a little road rage on accident.
If they were down, did they stay down?
Yeah,
because I've seen some. That one was down, one was up, or lazy eye.
That's it. Yeah.
But I always thought those were so cool. I wanted a car that had flip up headlights. Right? I never had one.
It was pretty cool. And I had Trios rims.
Oh, yeah. I remember Trios.
To polish those things down.
Yeah. I had hammers. So it was like a 5-spoke hammer.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Man, reliving the childhood. Anyway, all that to say, my son. He doesn't care about any of those things, any material things like that. Even clothes-wise, I have to make him, hey, let's go get some nice clothes and have to wear them, you know?
So he wears clothes, just you're saying he don't care what he looks like.
Correct. Now, he only cares when he's going out with his girlfriend.
Okay.
Then he fixes his hair and brushes his teeth and all that stuff. Gotcha. But if it's just us, it's you're wearing the same thing again, you know?
So he's not into materialistic things or cars. Well, what is he into?
Not a lot. That's what I'm saying. He loves music and video games, things that, I get it, but I don't know. So those things don't appeal to him. So money and all for the stuff. He's like, I don't need those things.
We've talked about this before. My son really took after my tendencies of wanting to fix things. So we talked about his truck. He has the Starlight headliner.
It's Galaxy headlight.
Yeah.
Interior lights.
It's pretty neat, but
have a wreck.
His truck is, he's done a lot of work to the truck to make it look like he wants it to look lifted and all that. Big diesel.
Yeah.
And into hunting, he sends me a hunting boat, for sale, probably two a day.
All right.
I'm like, nothing else, just sends me the boat.
Yeah.
I said, bro, have you got a job yet? I'm getting one there. Hire me when I'm 18. Well, dude, you've been 18 now for 4 days and you ain't got a job yet.
No prospects.
You better go get the job and stop sending me duck boats.
100%. But I don't know. I think it's, just the whole growing up aspect, in my opinion, and I get. Maybe I just remember falsely because being 18 was a long, 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 long time ago. Almost 30 years now. That's crazy to think about. But anyway, all that to say, I probably wasn't as mature as I think I was in my mind at 18. I'm probably in the same boat.
I was not mature in a lot of ways.
Right. And there's a lot of ways. I feel like it's flip-flopped with my son. Things that I wish I was more mature in, he is. And things I want him to get, I feel like I was.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Just more just this taking advantage of any opportunity to work and make money and, save up for things. But he's thinking strategically about, college and how to get done and what he's going to, I don't know what I wanted to major in until my junior year, So in some ways he's way better off than I am. In most ways, I would say. And so I'm excited about that. But, I don't know. It's so weird to parent an adult child.
I do think that my son is, while he's taken a lot of tendencies, I think from me as far as being interested in vehicles or just different, outdoor activities, there are ways, though, I see more maturity in him at 18 than when I was 18. For example, he has a girlfriend that he really likes. Uh-huh. And I, on the other hand,
you don't have a girlfriend you really like right now?
No, when I was 18.
Oh, okay.
We're comparing the 18.
Shout out Christine. He loves you.
When I was 18, though, it wasn't one girl. I would you know, any other, I date a bunch of different girls, sure, whatever, you know.
Great example.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's a lot more mature, sure, in that aspect. He doesn't look for that. He doesn't look for girls to like him and all, right, that. He's not trying to be something that he's not, or trying to impress, you know, other girls and things like that. Like, so I was.
Has he mentioned the M word?
No.
No, he's not.
Well, let me say, in the context of, hey, yeah, well, let me be careful here. not that, hey, we want to get married,
right,
X amount of days or whatever.
Right, right.
He's thinking of it in the sense of, what do I really want out of my career, or what type of career do I really want to go after so that I can take care of my family,
sure,
when it comes,
yeah,
when I have that,
yeah,
when I do have a wife, when we do have a family.
Right.
Because he was really into, you know, welding and really liked that and wanted to be a pipeline welder. And after he starts thinking about really how do you make money doing that? Well, you travel around the country, right, constantly,
right,
chasing the work.
Right.
You know, and so he came to me and said, you know, I just don't know if that's the lifestyle that I want to live.
Yeah.
Because I do have a desire to get married eventually.
Right.
And have a family, and I don't want, you know,
To be gone
all the time.
Sure. Well, that's incredible to be thinking about those things, right?
That's, I was not thinking about any of that stuff.
No, not at all. And I think, too, that really comes with, you know, this generation that has, you know, internet was new for us when we were seniors in high school and, you know, trying to...
I don't think I had internet when the whole time I was in high school.
Trying to figure it out and, you know, what was available to you and options and all those things. And now those things are so easily accessible for them to search it out and figure things out. So, you know, I feel like in some ways they're light years ahead of us, and then in some ways they're not. And so, so thinking about that, let's talk about it. So how does parenting change as your kids become adults?
Changes a lot.
What's one thing that maybe you've noticed already? Maybe it's kickback from your son. Because we have a tendency to always view them as a child.
I'm going to start with the positives.
All right.
As he has matured, I can have a conversation with him, and I can see that he kind of gets my point.
Yeah.
Whereas he was younger, he's not fully grasping the concepts of what we're talking about and how it affects him.
Sure.
And now he's kind of starting to see that now.
Yeah.
So I do see him paying more attention when I'm telling him whatever we're talking about and trying to give him guidance. I can see him paying a little bit more attention to it than when he was younger.
True. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that people have told me is like, life is going to awaken what's in them, right? In regards to responsibility and work ethic and all those kinds of things. One day it'll just happen. It'll click and you'll be like, wow, I didn't think it was going to happen, but it did. You know, I keep hearing that story over and over and over again. And so I'm seeing glimpses of that, you know, just the way that my son is thinking about college and not wanting to go in debt. And he's worked really hard to get all these scholarships and basically will get paid to go to college. And so that's, I mean, once again, you know, right on track with, you know, kind of where my head was at, playing basketball to be able to go to college and go free and figure that stuff out. But
Jeff, when you played basketball,
yeah,
when you shot a free throw, did you do granny shot style? Was that was big
straight
back
into
then.
The peach basket.
That yep. was big a... back then, right?
My dad did teach me to do that, but no, I never did it in the game. No,
they had 3-point line when you played, right?
They did.
Okay,
they did. Right. Yeah. Oh goodness, that's funny. I think for us, like, and I just had a conversation with my son last week about it, and he kind of felt like we as his parents would shut him down. Like he wouldn't, it's easier just to go along with what we say than to express
a different
opinion, or hey, I don't agree with that.
Was that his thinking, or was that because you guys would shut him down?
Both.
Yeah.
I think he is a people pleaser in a lot of ways. And so why go through the headache of trying to, you know, hear a speech, you know, from my parents about these things when I can just say, okay, I'll do that, you know, and just count down till I'm on my own. You know what I mean? So, oh my goodness, Tommy.
What is that noise?
That is water. So
water coming from where?
All right. Side note, my state-of-the-art studio is next door to the men's restroom. Someone just flushed the toilet.
I don't know if that came across the radio or not, but I sure heard it in my headphones.
Yeah. So now you know.
I'm going to pick up on this real quick. So I want to ask you a question.
Hit me.
It's okay, though. I just want to hear if parents are, certainly we have parents listening that if they're not already parenting young adult, I still say young adult, 18-year-olds, they will be soon, yeah. Soon enough.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point you will be.
You blink, yeah. It'll be there.
So I still believe it's okay, and this is not what you weren't saying that he did this or not, but if your kid has some far-fetched like thing, I mean, at some point you have to start bringing in reality.
Well, sure.
Right? Like, and, you know, hey, I want to color pictures for a living. What?
Right.
What?
Right.
I mean, that's stupid.
Right.
So while we need to hear them out, and, you know, and we definitely, we want them to feel comfortable to speak to us about what their desires are, we still... need to, if needed, we need to speak sense and need to tell them the reality of it.
Well, you know, and I'll say this because there's this temptation to be like, all right, you're 18,
right?
You know, hey, go color, see how it works out. You know, like kind of that mentality and attitude about it. And the truth is that you're still their parent, right? You're still trying to give guidance and wisdom to them. It just maybe looks, sounds packaged a little bit differently. So instead of talking to him as my child, it would be like as if I was talking to you, for example. Right. And, you know, so speak truth, short and sweet, do with it what you want, but here's truth. So keep reminding them of truth. Hear them out. Like, let them, sometimes just talking about it, for me, once I say it out loud, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a terrible idea. I didn't think that all the way through, but now that I said it, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And sometimes that happens for them. And then third, I think this is the hardest one, especially for moms, is to let their kids fail.
Well, I think that goes back to their balance there in that.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes back to you've given them instruction. You've instilled in them the things that you've learned. One thing I told my son was a smart man learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from others' mistakes.
Right.
So hear me when I tell you I've experienced this,
right,
and going this path doesn't work out.
Right.
But in all of those,
I tell my kids, be better than me.
But in all of those situations, and after all of those things are said and done, they still have to make a decision.
Yeah.
And we can't make the decision for them. So if they make the decision to do something and the outcome is unpleasant, or there is a negative outcome, that is something that they have to learn from. Now, one thing I'll say is we as parents, we don't disown them. We don't push them out. We can stand next to them and help them through it, but it's their lesson that they have to learn.
Right.
And sometimes we have to allow them to learn that.
But lesson. To your point, there are some lessons that we know the consequences would be greater than what they think.
Right.
And so we protect them from those. And then there's some where we're like, okay, go color and pay your car note.
Right.
And let's just, once that doesn't work out, then we'll revisit, you know, go do that.
So here's an example, more of a, let's say the color example was a little far-fetched, but here's a real life example with me and Mason.
Okay.
Early on, when I use that term, I say early on in his high school, so from ninth grade to 12th grade, we're going to call that starting early on ninth grade. You know, he's big into agriculture. He's excelled in FFA, the local chapter here. He's excelled in one state competitions. And he's always had a desire to do something in agriculture, be around it.
Right.
That led him to get a job in ag aviation, working for crop dusters, with ground support and things like that. Well, that led to him flying in an airplane and getting a bug for aviation. Now, up until this point, because I mentioned earlier, he wanted to be a welder. Well, he wanted to join the union, be a welder. And the reasoning was, hey, it's I don't have any debt. I can go into the workforce and start making money. And, you know, I can do something with my hands that I like to do. Yeah. And all those are great things.
Sure.
Okay, all those are great, wonderful things.
Yeah.
The trades are awesome. I encourage kids to do that.
Yeah.
We need them. And so I encouraged him in that. But as we start talking to him, I could hear what I felt like the underlying motive wasn't those things of working with your hands.
And right, this is what I love.
It wasn't those, right? It wasn't this is what I'm passionate about. It was I don't like going to school.
Right.
And I want to make money.
Uh-huh.
And I started thinking, wait a minute. He's got an idea in his mind that this is something that's not. So I sat him down.
Yeah.
I said, let's walk through the path of going through the union. You're going to be a 5-year apprentice before you get to a journeyman. So 5 years you are learning. You go to school 2 nights a week. You make low pay. You're the guy doing all the hard work, manual labor, while learning.
Yeah.
Learning for 5 years you're on this program.
Right.
Then you get to be a journeyman. Then you start teaching other people. I said, okay, so there's that path. Then there's the path of college. Well, you got to go to college for 4 years at least, you know,
right,
standard, to learn.
Right.
Oh, you'll be a pilot. Well, guess what? Guess what you got to do? You got to learn.
Right.
I said, so here's what I'm going to tell you. I want you to go back and reflect on exactly what you wanted to think about your life in 5 years and in 10 years. What do you want out of it? Like, forget what you think you don't like. Oh, I don't like sitting in school and listening to a teacher teach. I mean, I could ask 100 people that, and 90 are going to raise their hand and say they don't like it either.
Right.
But you do it.
Yeah. I had the same question, or I guess statement to myself. I said, son, do you know how many things daily I do that I don't like to do? You know, like, I mean, I don't understand. And so he was like, what? I was like, well, for one thing, I hate stacking chairs at church and unstacking them, setting like I hate doing that. And he's like, well, did you tell the pastor that you don't want to do that? I was like, no, I would never do that. I don't understand.
It's good that he's hearing this from you though, and not going to his boss. It's like he works at Chili's.
No, thanks. Yeah.
He says, well, I don't like cleaning the bathroom.
Right.
Well, who does?
Right.
But guess what? You're doing it.
Right. Well, you know, and this was just a recent issue is he had the opportunity to pick up a shift. And he's like, what? You know, I'm not asking you to work every single day, but you've worked one day this week and you can't pick it up. And so once again, okay, why? Explain to me why. Instead of being mad and treating him like a child, what's your reasoning? He gave his reasons. I still didn't think they were sufficient enough,
right?
You know, but I was like, all right, well, when you can't pay for these things and you can never build your bank account up, then maybe you'll change your tune. I'll let you make this choice.
Yeah.
But you still got to pay for your cell phone and car insurance and fill up your car. You know, so you'll fill it eventually. I wish you would listen to me now. It'd be wise for you to go ahead and do it, but okay. You know, so those kinds of things are really hard as a parent. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. But at the same time.
Well, you know, so I didn't have that interaction with my parents when I was 18.
Same.
Yeah, neither did you.
Yeah.
And that's why, so I use that. I tell Mason that. I will tell him, hey, my dad didn't sit me down and say, hey, listen, the next 4 years, you have the opportunity to go to college, and you know what, you might think it's not going to be fun, but get it done now.
Right.
And your future self will thank you for having a foundation.
Sure.
And we're not saying college is the
for
end
everybody.
All be all,
sure.
All of that. But all I'm saying is set yourself up with a plan and execute that plan.
Or not, let's just start talking about it. let's start praying about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's do that together. And, you know, when I feel like you're off the rails and it's not lining up or making sense, then we'll bring it back and just be reminded of truth. But man, I want you to find what you're passionate about, right? I want you to find something. But not only that, you got to think about the realities, you know, can it provide? I mean, that's real conversations that you have to have. And, you know, just trying to help them see those things. And it's so tricky, you know, I feel like as they get older. So I think, you know, lastly, to wrap this up, let's talk about this. But you want them at this age, especially, to desire the Lord, you know, and they're to grow in their relationship with the Lord. And because it's such a pivotal age, you know, whether it's them doing it themselves or seeking out a group, you know, to be a part of something of that nature, or just seeing them take interest in the sermons on Sunday and taking notes, you know, are they doing this on their own? Are they, you know, do they want it? And if not, how do we develop that spiritual maturity in their life?
That's an area, you know, with my son that I've talked to him about, and I wasn't doing that when I was 18, and I told him that.
Right.
And my desire is that he does, like, but I can't want it for him.
Sure.
But I pray for him every day. Like, yeah. I try now to lead by example too, because I love being in the Word.
Yeah.
I love taking notes during sermon. I love being present at church.
Right.
I want him to have that same love for those things. So what I've tried to do is, again, this goes back to learn from mistakes or learn from others' mistakes.
Right.
Try to instill in him what I'm telling you right now is probably the most important thing you can hear me ever say, is that you will never regret putting all of your heart and soul and mind into the Lord.
Right.
You'll never regret that.
No. Yeah.
And if you just can hear me when I say that your life will be so much, I'm not going to say easy.
You know,
no. Not going to say better, per se. Mm-hmm. But you'll create a foundation for yourself. So as you grow and things happen in life, yeah, that you can withstand those things, would not just survive them,
right,
but even thrive in those.
Sure. There'll be an underlying peace that this world can't give you. And finding that and living in that and being focused on the things that matter, and then you get to the end of your life, and you're pleased with what you've invested in wisely. And so just figuring those things out. So I think, you know, kind of wrapping this one up, three things that I thought of to help foster your child's spiritual development and maturity, spiritual growth. Number one, be an example. You already hit that, right? Let them see you doing it yourself, not just saying it, but doing it. Number two, ask questions, right? Like, ask, whether it's like, you know, I found myself asking my son the other day of, you know, just gospel questions about salvation and just seeing what his response was to it. Like, where is he at in that? Does he fully understand and grasp, and can he articulate what he believes? But then also ask questions just about life in general, and how do you feel about this? And, you know, hey, do you feel like we're pressuring you? Like, trying to get to a place where we have a different type of relationship. And then the third one is need them. I feel like for so long, as their parent, they need you. And now they're getting to a place where you can say, hey, I really need you to help me in this. And I need your skill set for this. Let them see that their gifts and uniqueness that God's given them plays in God's plan as well. And letting them see that is critical. And so trying to get to that place too, to help them see that they're important, God has a plan for them, this is how it can be used right now, I think is really neat and strategic.
I don't know did you tell me this? Somebody told me this recently, that like one of the scariest times for a parent
is when their child,
young adult, or maybe even when they leave the house.
I asked this particular family who had their adult children and their spouses in the same row with them.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Like, how did you parent three teenage boys? And they're like, that was easy.
They're all at church with you.
That was easy. They're under your roof. They're under your authority. It's when they get out from underneath that and you watch them walk down a path that you know where it leads. And there's nothing you can do about it. They don't want to listen to you, take your advice. And you just have to watch it. That's hard. I was like, man, don't tell me that, you know, about to walk into that phase. But anyway, I think ultimately, Tommy, what it comes down to is what you mentioned earlier. And if we realize there's no 1, 2, 3 ABC steps and your child will end up this way, but we have to rely on the Lord. And so praying for our children for the rest of their lives, not till they're 18 and they're done, for the rest of their lives, praying for them, praying for wisdom, praying for friendships, praying for opportunities, all those types of things, for the Lord to use other people in their life, you know, where, you know, we've talked about this, mom and dad are dumb right now, you know, like you don't understand, you know, you're old, you know, whatever it is.
I'm getting that from my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Yeah, you don't get it. So taking all those things and then, you know, just trying to get to a place where other people will speak into their life and invest wisely in that and speak those truths. So right now, you know, asking other men, whether my age, older, younger, you know, about things that my son's dealing with, like ask them what they think. You know, if they could go back and do it again, what would they do? You know, types of things.
Well, I'm going to end us with this. All right. I want to say something to you, Jeff, that's a surprise to you. But you, Jeff, are a manifestation of my parents' prayers over me. Mm. Because for years and years and years, they prayed for someone to come into my life who can help me grow in my salvation.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying that here to also let, I would say that to Justin, but he didn't come.
That's right. So, he's off the list.
But I'm saying that for parents to see this, that this is real, that the Lord desires our prayer, and he's going to look out for us. He's going to look out for our kids. So have faith in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And to say that, I mean, for everybody, but who you hang around, who you do your spiritual life with, is key.
Oh, it matters.
So praying for your kids specifically on that. So guys, we love you. Appreciate you. Hope this was encouraging.
Yep. See you.